Hello and welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast. I'm Paul, your host. This podcast is all about Porsche and their cars and the people and the technology and the engineering that goes behind it. You'll find your Porsche stories, which is us, me, talking to you about your Porsche, your journeys and your life experiences with those cars. Tech Talk, which is all about the technical aspects of Porsche. Waffle, which is just me whittering on about basically anything with some friends. And Heritage, which looks at the entire journey of Porsche from the earliest days to the present day. If that sounds interesting to you, then stick around. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to episode 39 of the podcast. How you doing? How has your week been? Are you ready? In the UK at least, we've got Easter, Good Friday and Easter Sunday and then Bank Holiday Monday. I messed that up, didn't I? Let's try again. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to episode 39. In the UK, we've got a lovely long four-day weekend through the bank holiday, so Good Friday and Easter Monday, and we'll be relaxing for the most part. So anyone that's not on shift work or public services or in the entertainment and retail business, then we've all got a lovely bit of time planned. Sadly, the weather's not playing ball at the moment, so all the lovely activities we'd be doing if we're going out driving and dragging the convertibles out of the garage for the first time and starting to go out for some proper drives, it's not looking that conducive, sadly. But there's no salt on the roads anymore, so if you've got your Porsche and it's sat in the garage right now, it's relatively stress-free, apart from the fact that you need to wait for a gap in the weather. Anyway, this week is an interesting one because if I think about the playlists, so Tech Talk and Heritage, Waffle, Your Porsche Stories, all of those sorts of things that we've got that appear regularly on the channel. This, I guess, fits into Tech Talk, but not particularly. This really is the start of explaining the Ren 550. Now, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, I've here and there mentioned the Ren 550 dozens of times through almost every episode, mentioning it in passing, saying something's coming, saying that I'm working on it, but I want to drop some good content for it. Well, last week I released the trailer for that car. That is, and I'll remind you again in a sec, but that is, this is what it's all about. This is Rengineering at its heart. Yes, it's all about the people. Yes, it's all about the stories behind the brand. But at the same time, there's a core component to this YouTube channel and podcast, and that is the intent to build a one-of-one, with an asterisk, depending on how many clients approach, carbon fiber-bodied 550 Spider Evocation. So desperately important car to Porsche. It's the genesis of the brand. It's where the racing started. It's beautiful. They're beautiful cars anyway. It's a really important car in the history of the brand. And the intent for this channel and this podcast is to document the entire process from buying a donor car. And I won't get too much into the detail because I want to leave that to the rest of the episode. But and then tracking all the way through from start to finish, not in a typical way that you'd see on YouTube, and it's definitely not been done on a podcast before, but the intent really is to try and do both, to try and bring an engineering project to life so you can learn all about it, you can kind of challenge me and my approach, you can listen to all the partners and collaborations with other brands that are involved along the way. Everything laid out on the table for you to see, nothing hidden. I don't know of anybody that's doing that right now. There's lots of people out there, YouTubers, that are kind of buying crash cars. Matt Armstrong, great guy, really love his take. It's not engineering, it's buying a crash car and putting it back on the road. It's difficult on its own. And the same, there's lots of other people there. Matt Ross, I like, really enjoy watching Matt Ross's content on YouTube. If I haven't checked him out, go and check him out. He's relatively new, but exploding into the space because he bought a 996 Turbo. It was a mess. Brought that back to life. Got some really good partnerships with Renline. And now he's working on a 997 Turbo. But the interesting thing with that is that he bought a car that was a track car that had been written off, but also had a spare chassis, and he's been converting one to the other. It's really interesting. And in his credit, he's doing the best he can. You know, he really is. He's doing, and it's looking great. He's made some really great choices, I think. Apart from the rear lights, I'm not a fan of the rear lights he's chosen, but yeah, tiny details really. But Rengineering, I think, will stand on its own. I think there's very few companies out there that will go to this extent. I am not the expert in all areas, so I will tell you, and I'll tell the audience on YouTube, where I'm kind of going, moving into the haven't done this before voyage of discovery, but still treat it like an engineering project. So, and then at that point, I will be relying on those partners to kind of educate me, or I'll hand some of that work over to them, but it will still be documented. I'll still be heavily involved in the process. Just might not necessarily be me laying carbon fiber down, for example. Before we get into that, though, let's talk about the updates for this week. Firstly, I want to give a shout out to Patrick Long, racing driver, who is testing the Gunther Works car that I mentioned before, mentioned in last week's episode. The fact that they were going for a lap record of Laguna Seca. very sadly, it was quite a significant accident. Gunther Works put a statement out. No comments allowed on social media, so they've been quite quiet about how they're going to handle it. But credit to them, they didn't wait for the media to catch up. They went and jumped on it straight away. What I understand is the car flipped. It did not have a roll cage, and quite a lot of the vehicle was, for want of a better phrase, squished. So there was some speculation at the time around Patrick and whether he'd been seriously injured, critically injured. Thankfully, no, it doesn't appear that he has. There were some injuries, as you'd imagine, in a crash like that. But ultimately, I think he's survived, and I say this with, again, an asterisk, relatively unscathed, not completely unscathed. But I wish Patrick all the best and the Gunther Works team. You can go back and listen to the Goodwood Festival of Speed episode from last year, and I interview a couple of the Gunther Works guys and talk about the cars they were releasing then. Really lovely. And they invited me out to spend some time with Gunther Works if I make it out to that, to California. So, really sad, but these things happen, right? You don't necessarily test a destruction every time, but you're pushing the limits of what a vehicle is capable of and what your drivers are capable of to try and achieve, landmarks and kind of big key selling points, right? It would have been a key selling point. So they'll be back, I'm sure. They'll kind of have another car, and then they'll bring it out to Laguna Seca, and I'm sure they'll hit their targets. So, but best wishes to Gunther Works and Patrick Long. So I was sent a link by Mick actually earlier on today, and I wasn't going to mention this, but I'm going to anyway. Part of it is really cool, right? So a video is posted out. Relatively unknown Instagram guy. I'd never seen the I'm not even going to mention the name because I don't want to bad-mouthing people, but some shocking driving on the road. Mick sent it to me because he thought it'd be really cool that because it's got, the guy's basically got a box of the spider with a lightning flywheel, and it's pretty amazing that hearing that thing go through the revs, it's just lightning quick. So I don't know how light that flywheel is, but it's it doesn't sound like there's any inertia at all. It's just flying through the gears. Sounds incredible. It really, again, it's another one of those points to prove around, particularly the 987.2 cars, the Spider and the Cayman R. I mean, they're so good. Every time, I mean, I'm way too deep into my Outlaw Cayman now to turn back. Too much money and time has been spent. It's too kind of customized to my tastes. I'm sure somebody, I've been approached a few times about selling it, but that's the only car I think I'd sell it for, really, is a Cayman R, or potentially a Boxer Spider. But yeah, this thing's really cool. And it's made me escalate or elevate the idea of putting a lower final drive and a flight and flywheel in my car. I mean, I don't do big high speed runs or anything, so I don't need the 157 miles per hour it can do, but I do use kind of mid-range a lot, so the idea you can flick in and out of gears, it sounded super cool. However, the guy was driving like an absolute idiot, if I'm honest. there's a place for that stuff. It's called the racetrack. Track days, you know, airfield days, wherever you are in the world, there's those sorts of things that are available to you. You know, just, I know I sound really old, but I'm not completely innocent, but this guy wasn't 20. This guy was in his 40s, and he was, you know, it looked like he was in his 40s anyway, and still driving like an idiot on the road. And it's just, there's a time and a place for it. It doesn't do us any favors as a community, as a bunch of gearheads or petrol heads. So just, you know, play some common sense there. You know, when you're filming yourself, you've just got to be a bit of a moron really to do that and then put it on social media that you've been, you know, driving like an idiot. So, but the point proven to make, light and flywheel is definitely the way to go. I've just been watching, so I'm off to the Nürburgring in 3.5 weeks' time to meet Gold Leaf Performance and to hang out with. I'm actually not going on a road trip on my own this time. I'm going with Nathan, who's been on the channel a couple of times before, works at Alpine Formula One as a mechanic, race team mechanic, and a friend called Joe, who I've known since 1997 or something, and his dad, who I've known pretty much the same amount of time as well. So there's a good little group of us going this time. But I've been smashing laps in of the ring. This is on Gran Turismo, by the way. Not with any intent to try and learn the ring. I mean, I know it as probably most people do. You pick some corners up, some turns. You recognize some parts of the circuit. And then you kind of lose track of where you are. And then you realize you've overshot a particular corner. But then there's obviously no jeopardy at play there. Whereas, if, you know, you crash on a game, it doesn't make any difference at all. You just reset and carry on, laugh at yourself for being an idiot. But the reality is, driving my Cayman on the ring, I'm just gonna be treating it like a fast road. Again, no heroics. I've been there before, and I'm gonna be shooting the whole time I'm gone for that entire trip. And there's a bit of a backstory about the previous time I went to the Nürburgring, so that's all coming in the future. But I did manage to do it. So again, Joe was, just for a bit of fun, back in probably 2004, I think it was, Joe would come round to my house and we'd have an entire evening and we'd race on Midfield Raceway and a Pagani Zonda. And by, you know, and we put hours and hours and hours into that. We loved it. It was a really good way of hanging out. I mean, I probably haven't really grown up much if 20 years later I'm doing exactly the same thing. But obviously now with that, you obviously back then couldn't do it over the internet, whereas, you know, we could do that here. So it was fascinating. Joe was putting laps in an M5, and I think did a 7 minute 40 something, 48, 49, maybe 50. I put a lap in of my Cayman and I put a 740 in, and he put then a 745 in or something like that. So when you think about a 13.1 mile circuit being like 5 seconds apart, it goes to show that either we're both similarly shit or we're both similarly average. I don't think those times are particularly amazing, but yeah, fun to do anyway. But I had, based off the back of that, it was flicking through Sky looking for something to watch and found Gran Turismo, the film. And I know it came out probably 6 months ago or so, maybe a little bit longer actually, but I discounted it at the time. I didn't go and watch it in the cinema because it just looked a bit naff to me. And then I thought, you know what? It's on Sky. I'll give it a watch. Sat there and I was like, you know, this isn't too bad. And I've just finished watching it now. What would I score it? I'd probably score it like a 7 out of 10. It feels a little bit contrived and cheesy at points. It's quite American in, you know, but you know what? It's got, you get a sense of Gran Turismo from it, which is great. And I've been playing that game since the first ever Gran Turismo came out in 1996, I think it was. 1995, 1996, something like that anyway. I adore the series. I bought my PlayStation 5 just for Gran Turismo. And I will always, you know, buy a PlayStation to play that game. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be a crusty 90-year-old doing the same thing. So, in fact, it'd be fascinating to even know what they've got, if there's even a PlayStation around at that point. Who knows? Anyway, I would give that film like a 7 out of 10. If you haven't watched it and you're thinking, well, maybe not, then yeah, do give it a chance. What else then before I wrap and then head into the meat of it, the proper part of the episode, which breaks down the REM 550 in its entirety. The only thing really that I, you know, probably expect me to talk about that I haven't mentioned yet, but I will, is the Cayman and Boxster being discontinued in the EU, I should add, not in the UK. It's so strange. I was not expecting this. It didn't make any sense to me. And then, social media went nuts. It's all finished. That's it for the Cayman and Boxster and Macan. But in reality, and I'm going to quote directly from the statement from Porsche, in the European Union and some states that apply EU legislation, the combustion-powered 718 models will not be available indefinitely. As in, it's right now, they've stopped. Main reason for this is the general safety regulation of the European Union, including cybersecurity, to which the platform will not be converted. Any models that do not meet these requirements will no longer be eligible for new registration in the EU after the beginning of July 2024. But they'll just be satisfying orders that are already in to hit that note. This applies not only to 718 models with an internal combustion engine, but to all models from all manufacturers. And this is regardless of whether it's an e-vehicle or one with an internal combustion engine. As a result, the sale of 718 models with an internal combustion engine is discontinued in the EU and some states that apply EU legislation from now on, thereby ensuring that vehicles can be delivered to customers and registered in the by the deadline. In regions where the relevant EU legislation is not applied, 718 models with an internal combustion engine can remain for longer. Blah, 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 blah. What cybersecurity means, I have got absolutely no idea. I'm trying to really rack my brains as to what within the vehicle can be, hacked, malware added. I've no idea. So I don't really know. I can't really give any information as to the kind of context as to how that would apply. But clearly it does. What I would say as well is the small run vehicles, so the GT4 RS, the Spider RS, are excluded from this on the basis that they're small run vehicles. They're not kind of mass marketed with, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of models being built and sold. So, but it is sad. It's the end of an era. We will obviously see what the future holds in terms of the naming for the Boxster and the Cayman. We know that they're due. We know the spy shots have been everywhere about them being released. So we know it's coming. It's just, the actual the combustion engine versions are gone as far as European Union is concerned. So, but that doesn't include the UK and obviously elsewhere where that legislation isn't applied. So, but whether it will influence things, whether they'll be in full production and actually want to, there's an opportunity there for them to change the pricing structure slightly to offload some of their pre-committed shells, because you can imagine these things they're not kind of built to order. They're built, there'd be tons of chassis kind of stacked up, ready to go. We're getting farmed through the process. So depending on how many of orders they've got to satisfy, there'd probably be a surplus. Plus, if you time that against the release of the EV version of those cars, who knows? I don't know if they can use exactly the same chassis or not. And obviously, if they can, they'll continue to use them. If they can't, we might see a bit of a fire sale on the Boxster and the Cayman in the other areas. So we'll wait and see. That's it for me though, for the intro. So I'm going to hand over to me, but talking about, so weird when I say that, hand over, but talking specifically about unpacking the Rengineering Ren 550. What I will say is the full video went live on YouTube at 7 o'clock tonight, 7 PM tonight. So obviously a view, a watching session is richer than a listening session. So I would encourage you, if you haven't already, head over to YouTube and give the Rengineering channel subscription, notifications and the bell icon to make sure you get picked up. You get all the notifications for the new episodes that come out. But if you're an audio person, you're not that bothered about YouTube. It's all here for you. What I will say is there is some, it's a watch back of that teaser trailer. So where there would be a cut, and obviously we'd watch some of that trailer together, I will just cut that out, because all you're going to hear is some intense music. Nice as that is, probably not going to be that much of a listening experience. But here is anyway, here's all the detail. And if you really love it, you can drop me an email. If you're interested as a potential buyer, a client, and you want to be involved in the entire process, I'd love that. I would absolutely adore that. So if you're sat there in your home and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I'd love a Lotus Elise based carbon fiber bodied air cooled 550 Spider Evocation, then reach out info@renengineering.com. And if you're on social media, you can get a hold of me on @RenEngineeringUK on Instagram, @RenEngineering on all other social media channels. For now, here it is. Here is the RenEngineering REM 550 fully explained, and I'll catch you back up at the end. Welcome back to the RenEngineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to an episode where I break down exactly what the REN 550 is. Last week, you'd have seen a trailer, a teaser that came out about that car, but with absolutely no other information other than that. This episode picks up that trailer and breaking everything down for you. Welcome back to the RenEngineering YouTube and podcast, and welcome to the breakdown video of the REN 550. In this video, we are going to play back the teaser trailer from last week, and I'm going to talk to you all about the design, how it's come about, and what we're going to see, what you're going to see in this these forthcoming episodes when we start building this car. It is a full engineering project. A couple of the questions since that trailer got launched were, is it just a design? Is it just cool? Is there anything happening with it? Yeah, absolutely. The whole point of RenEngineering in the first place, all of the playlists, all of the content you've seen before, it all is in service of building this car and building others like it. So that's why it's really important, if you go and watch those videos, help get monetized, because all of that money goes back into this build. Everything goes back into these builds. So let's take a look at the REN 550 then. Before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the Porsche 550 Spider that the REN 550 is based upon. That car was designed in the early 1950s and released in 1953, ran to 1956. There were 90 made. Four cylinder, flat four engine, 110 brake horsepower, but weighed nothing, right? So you had that light, dexterous, thin, flicky, you know, tiny little tires, no contact patch, but an amazing race car. Probably most famously known for the fact that James Dean died in one in 1956. Really sad, okay? So he had one of the last cars made, and of those 90 made, there are all of them are known where they are, apart from that one, because that's in pieces spread across the world, apparently. So when we look at the REM 550 then, we're going to talk a little bit about the size of the two cars. So let's start there, actually. So the wheelbase for the Porsche 550 Spider is 2100 mil. The length is 3600 mil and the width is 1610. The REN 550 is 2300 mil. Length is 3824-ish. It's not built yet, so there may be changes. And width 1719. Now, if you're a Lotus nerd, you'll know that those figures are actually Lotus Elise figures, and that is the chassis that this car is going to be based upon, the 111 chassis. If I think back to the early 2000s, I worked for Lotus for a dealership as a service manager, and I also owned one of those cars for 7.5 years and did a nut and bolt rebuild on that car. I know those cars inside out. I remember when I first drove one vividly, and it completely reset what I thought a great road car was. When I started RenEngineering 3 years ago, I started looking at the Beetle chassis because I knew I wanted to do a 550 Spider. I was thinking, well, what can I do? What would be a really interesting engineering project? And I thought about, well, how far can I develop a Beetle chassis? It's been done a lot. You know, people have tried that before. Ultimately, it's a flawed chassis, right? That you're going to get a good looking car, and they're pretty good for the, you know, 356 and the speedsters, but they're more of a cruiser. They're more of a, you get the look of those cars, but you don't really get a sports car out of it. What I wanted to do is create something that was an evolution. You know, if Porsche had the opportunity to build a 550 Spider right now, what would they do? What materials would they use? Pretty sure they wouldn't use a Beetle chassis, and I'm fairly sure they wouldn't use fiberglass. So we're not going to use those either. So the 111 chassis then, as I said, looking at the dimensions of the two cars, there is some difference, but they are quite close. Now, obviously, from an engineering project, quite close is a mile gap. There's a huge amount of work to do unless it's absolutely spot on. So we are going to have to look at how we manipulate that body. And let's talk about the body then. So if I hit play and then we'll work through this. So as you can tell, that does look like a 550 spider. But the where you're going to get a body from, I can't generate one of those from thin air. So my friends over at Fibersteel in the US are going to be shipping over a buck. We'll use that as a starting point and we'll create a mold from that and then ship the buck back to them, very kind of them to support the channel from that mold. The first company I'm going to talk about that's a partner for the REM 550 is O Sport Design. Jake, a good friend of mine, we've already shot a tech talk on carbon fiber production and this body will be made of carbon fiber. O Sport and Jake have a formidable background. They are ex-Formula One, or the family is a Formula One based company. They create carbon fiber for the likes of Tuthill, Porsche, many others, and they take on quite specific work. I met Jake years ago when I had my Lotus, actually, so there's quite a lot of cross-pollination between the two. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to build a 550 spider body out of carbon fiber using the O Sport brand and company. Amazing. They're great guys. But they also, one of the things that runs through all of these guys, these partners, they're relatively small companies. They're not big, massive lumbering companies that this would be swallowed up. Actually, what's really important to me is I'd get to know these people individually. They feel committed to the project. I feel committed to them. If you are a potential client, you're watching this and you're thinking, yeah, I'll have one of those, get in touch and we'll sort something out. But it's going to be a long road, right? So patience is going to be needed. So let's move on then and talk about some of the other things. So the interior then. The interior, as you can see, we're using a pretty standard 550 spider seat, little bucket seats. They're going to be coming from Fibersteel again, and they'll be trimmed by Dave the Trimmer. Now, Dave, I haven't actually shot the tech talk yet because my Outlaw Cayman goes to Dave for retrimming the seats and various other bits and pieces coming up. We'll be shooting a tech talk with Dave and you'll see that in the future episode as well. Dave's all in, loves the idea of this project, really excited by it. You can see the color, we'll get into the exterior color, but the interior color is red and black and then some wood in there as well. You can see the gear knob actually, we're gonna be using, built by Basil. He made my Carrera GT gear knob for my Outlaw Cayman. Again, Simon and I have already done a tech talk, you're gonna see that very soon as well. And you can get the idea, right? So some of these tech talks have been shot already, the collaboration and partnerships element, we're gonna be able to demonstrate the value both to the project as well, but also show how great these individuals are and their companies that they work for or have themselves. So that's the interior then. You'll see the steering wheel. Steering wheel is TBC, whether we build our own or whether we take something like a Proto Tipo and reinvent it or come up with some modification version of that steering wheel. But ultimately it's going to be, it's going to feel like a merge of the two, right? So the dash inside is going to be 550 spider style. The location of the gear knob and the handbrake are incorrect in that. Be in the center, unless it's a central seating position like this shows, and we'll come to that in a sec. But for now though, I think we'll move on from here. So you can start to hear some engine noise in the background there. Now, I guess the big question is, what engine are you running? A Lotus runs a water-cooled engine, and it's either the K-Series from a Rover. No jokes, that's a good engine, it's light, it works for the car. All the kinks have been ironed out of those engines now and they're pretty good. The other engine that they used within that Elise platform was the Toyota, and they're okay. Wouldn't make any sense in this car though, because that would just basically be a Lotus with a different body on top. So we're going to use an air-cooled either a flat four or flat six, decision to be made yet, and that's going to be supported by Rightune. Tech Talk is being shot this year with Rightune, so you'll see that coming up as well. It's going to be that's obviously going to be quite a technical challenge as well, getting the body to fit, stretching it, manipulating it to get the right sort of size for the chassis, and getting all the fixings onto the chassis is going to be tough. Shoehorning in a flat four or flat six into the back of an Elise effectively, obviously we're going to have to look at the subframe, the mounting points, the all of it. It's going to be drive shafts, the absolute lot, right? So it sounds easy. It is not easy. It's going to take a lot of work to get there. And because this is an engineering project and not just backyard build, although technically this is my garage, so we're starting small. We're looking at it as an engineering project. So that means requirements. That means looking at failure modes, material analysis and selection. There's all sorts of stuff that goes into building a car like this. 3D scanning the body, the carbon fiber production, the engine build itself, whether it's the contact patch for the wheels. There's so much to get into about this project. You can see some really nice lights. Absolutely no idea how we're going to build those, but they're so cool. We're going to try and figure that out. But even things like cooling, we're going to have to look at how the cooling works for this car because it's just so many unknowns, but very cool. So moving on from there then, you can tell by those fancy tail lights that actually we're going to need to wire the car up to get that to even happen. There is no wiring loom that's off the shelf for a flat 4 or flat 6 Porsche engine merged with the Lotus Elise. Doesn't exist, and my friends over at Level Motorsport Wiring are going to be helping with that as well. Again, a tech talk has already been shot, will be coming out soon. So that's the backbone of the car, effectively. So now we've looked at the fact that we've got a supplier for the body itself, we have a supplier for the engine, we have an interior trim supplier, we've got the buck itself, and that's being supplied. What else? You can see that the colorway that we've gone for the presentation here is the Berg Spider colors, so the green and white. And it's going to be a Riviera auto body that support us for the build and the paint with that as well. So that tech talk hasn't been shot yet, but it's also being planned for this year. So that will come out probably towards the end of this year, I would have thought. So we'll take a look at these two pictures then. So the first picture you'll see is from the front top. And you can see a really nice set of wheels in a kind of gunmetal-y bronze colour. The Berg Spider colours with that beautiful red interior, quite modern lighting, and typically you can see the wing mirrors haven't been painted and they're left raw carbon. Lots of questions as to whether things will look like that in the end. This is obviously a concept and not actually the final design. Broadly though, I'd love to recreate this colourway as well. What I will say though is if you're a potential client looking at this and you're thinking, I definitely would like that, but I don't want it in those colours, reach out, let me know. I'd love to have a client on board from the start, be really heavily involved in some of those selections, what the interior looks like and the exterior colour as well. So just drop me an email, info@reengineering.com. We'll pick it up from there. Wheels then, so that's really the last thing to talk about then. So the wheel is going to be from Group 4 wheels, Tech Talk being shot. There is a huge question over how easy that's going to be to do. There's definitely nothing off the shelf that is going to work, so it's going to be a scratch build wheel, which is going to take quite a bit of time to do. The likelihood is it'll roll around on its VX220 or Lotus Elise wheels for the short term, because until we've got that body absolutely finalized and dialed in, we don't know exactly what offset we're going to use. So that's probably one of the last pieces of design work that's going to happen, is to try and get that. So it's going to look pretty clunky for a while, but obviously it won't be reflective of the final design. So that brings us towards the end of the video then, and we're just looking at that rear quarter now. You can see the central speed hump. We're going to try and retain that as a design feature, and also the exhaust, the extended exhaust. It's just an icon. We've got to try and retain some of those things as well. You can see in this teaser video, that it's centrally driving positioned. We can do central, left and right hand drive, depending on where you are in the world. So let me know. Please, if you haven't so far, like and subscribe. Reengineering has been building up to this for nearly 3 years. The channel's not been going that long, and the podcast has not been going that long, but the actual brand itself and all of this work to try and get to where we are right now is taking an enormous amount of work just to get to this stage. It's obviously not going to slow up, right? It's going to be an enormous amount of work to get any further than this. So if you do nothing else, this is completely free to watch. This is the 400-page piston head thread version of a car build. If you love the detail, you want to know everything about the engineering that goes behind this, then this is going to be for you. We'll do summary episodes as well, so you'll get to see catch-ups. But if you want it, all of it's going to be here for you to watch as well. So please do like and subscribe and hit the bell icon and make sure you get notified for new videos. For now though, thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it. Head over to any podcast streaming service and you can listen to all the podcasts. We're regularly in the top 50 of the UK automotive podcast chart. But for now, that's it. The next videos you'll start seeing are some of those tech talks I've already talked about in this video. Take care for now. Bye-bye. I say it every week. It's a bit of a tagline now. But I really hope you enjoyed that episode. They're all important, right? Every episode's important. Every meeting, tech talk, heritage episode, you name it. Your Porsche stories, all the stories from people that own these cars and want to share them, they're all important. But this is, you know, my heart and soul is in this car. There will be blood, sweat, tears, you know, it's all going to be in there. It's all going to be unpacked. Inevitably, things will go wrong, right? I'm not expecting everything to be a walk in the park. Even the smallest engineering project will trip you up in places. But with the right logic applied, with the right level of focus applied to quality and not speed, you know, the time cost quality triangle, pick two, we're looking at quality and time. We're not looking at if you look at the speed, cost, quality triangle, you know, it's those things are really important. You can only have two. So, and money is to an extent limited. Time, we've got tons of. The quality has to be right. So, do reach out, let me know if you're interested in being Your Porsche Stories. Pretty much dry of Your Porsche Stories now. There's a couple of them that kind of looked like they were going to happen. Got some heritage episodes booked already. But they're the full, really deep episodes with the drive out and all that stuff. I'm at Rennsport coming up. We've got Porsche in the Park that's coming up in the not too distant future, where I'm going to be interviewing Hartek and a Carrera GT driver. It's going to be really exciting. That's going to be live as well, so even better. That's it though. So, yep, I hope you have a lovely break. If you have a break and if you're in a country that does that, then enjoy it. If you're in the UK, I hope that the weather is good for you. As I always say, get out and drive, get out and see your friends. And if you're working and you're, you know, put that extra £5 away, you know, add it to the extra, all the other £5 you put away, you know, just buy the car, go out and find it, hang out with your mates, enjoy the experience, because it's one life, right? So there's a time to be spendy and there's a time to be thrifty, and you know what, well, I'm in a spendy mood anyway. So take it easy and I'll see you next time. Take care for now. Bye bye.